parable of the two sons, which was found in Matthew chapter 21. And that was part of three parables that were grouped together. And today I'm going to continue with that and do the third parable in that one. And it's called the wedding banquet. And basically what all these three parables sum up to was Jesus was speaking to the Jewish religious leaders at that time who were questioning his authority. And this is what he talked to them about. As I was studying for this, I started thinking about all the weddings that I've been to. I've been probably quite a few, probably more than most people, just because I played a lot of them. I've been a worship leader since 1997, and then in 2002, I got my credentials. So I've only officiated actually one wedding, and that was one enough for me. But I have probably played 30 or 40 weddings doing piano. I mean, there was a time when I had like three churches calling me to do weddings for them when I was in Indiana. So I have done a lot of weddings. And really, when I was looking back at it, I can't really remember that much about any of them. I vaguely remember some of them, but I can't remember a lot about them. But usually, if I do remember a wedding, it was when something odd happened at the wedding, something that didn't go right. And I'll tell you about one real quick here. You know, we've all seen the weddings where the little flower girl or the ring bearer doesn't do what they're supposed to do. They come down and they run over to somebody or do something. And we all like, oh, cute. And then we, but when something catastrophic happens during the wedding, it's actually pretty memorable. And such is the case with one I'll tell you real quick about in Indiana that I was at. This has probably been 16 years ago. And this couple were getting married. They had decorated the stage. The stage was probably about twice the size of this one. It's pretty deep. Had probably 100 or 200 big balloons in it. They were doing white and clear balloons. I think they were going for kind of a cloud effect up here. And they had like four or six pillars up here on the platform. And I remember the pillars because they weren't normal pillars like you would rent or buy. They've created this white corrugate type paper that had the ridges in it. And they must have taped it together and stapled. It looked great, especially probably from the congregation sitting out. It looked good. And they used white pizza box type size boxes up on the top and the bottom of it. Don't ever do that. If you're planning out a wedding, don't skim on this area. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to forewarn you about this one. There was a music room. I've got a music room over here. This was supposed to be my office, but I do a lot of stuff out of the church. Outside of the church. So we created this is more of a music room over here where we used to pray before service, and we used that room to store equipment in and stuff like that. At the church I was at, they had a room like that. It was probably three or four times the size of that. And we used that room for exactly the same thing. Well, it had windows in the room, and a lot of times it would be really hot in that room, so we would open the windows up in there. And it did a strange thing because there was a side door to go out and there was a side door to go on the stage. And when you open those doors and close it, it did some kind of weird vacuum effect where the ceiling tiles in there would all jump up and down. Well, the guys before the wedding were actually inside there and they were getting ready. They were hot. They opened all the windows up in there. Well, they did the thing where the brides and everybody walked down the aisle. And then the guys, the photographer was back in the back, I noticed, taking pictures. She ran underneath into the basement and ran all the way around and came up through the music room. She opened up the music room door, shut it, and then she opened up the sanctuary door, and she was going in there to take pictures real quick. She opened up the sanctuary door, and when she shut it or did something, it created a gust, created that vacuum effect, jumped the ceiling up. The ceiling tiles jumped back down, and then a gust of wind went into the sanctuary. Well, remember I was telling you about the pillars. Well, the pillars began to rock back and forth, and there was white tooling that was going from pillar to pillar. Well, they weren't very stable. They began to fall over, and they began to do a domino effect across the four to six of them on the stage. It was a wedding war zone. I've never seen anything like it. Funny thing is, I'm playing piano on a grand piano at the time, and I'm on the grand piano, and one of the pillars comes at me. So I'm playing piano, I take my hand, grab it and just kind of ease it over to the side while I'm playing. Allison knows which one I'm talking about, I think, don't you? Well, the bridesmaids all had these big poofy dresses. I mean, huge ones. And they're walking across the stage. One of them had to sing at that time, and I had already started playing, so I couldn't help her. So I'm already playing the piano, already caught a pillar and let it go while I'm playing one-handed. She's over there walking across one of the pillars like that. It was unlike anything I ever seen. It was the most memorable wedding I have ever been to. 16 years later, and I remember that so distinctly. Now, I must add a disclaimer. Mine was very memorable, though. But it's funny, when things like that happen, and we've done a lot of them, I'm sure Pastor Joe has stories, Pastor Mike has stories, of all the weddings we've seen, there's just crazy things that happen there in it, because you've seen so many of them. But it was just unlike anything. Do not ever do a pillar like that. I would just recommend you spend the extra money and do that. It'll be a lot smoother wedding. But weddings are just a celebration. They're a joyous time when we get together, and I'm sure that couple can look back at now and laugh at that. I hope they have that on video, because that was just amazing. It's a time when a celebration, a time of two people joining together and just having a special time where they can commit to each other in public what Jesus has done in their life. And that is making a commitment to one another for the rest of their life. In our text today, we want to look at Jesus compares a wedding banquet to the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 14. Matthew 22, 1 through 14, if you have your Bible. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention to him. They went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants. They mistreated him and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go onto the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you can find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' And the man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be no weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just praise you and thank you for your word today, dear God. We give you glory and honor. I just pray that you would use me today to speak over these next few minutes, dear God. I just thank you and praise you for the word, dear God. And we love you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the main character in this story is the king. And his son, you guessed it, is the parable is about the king throwing a feast honoring his son's marriage. And it was a customary during this time, from what I've read, for an event like this to be given, that the two notifications would be an event like this, one in advance and one when things are ready. Quite a bit that I read says that an event like this could go on for even days. Now, the atmosphere expected for such an event like this, it's a great occasion for the country. I mean, this is your king. It should be a great privilege and honor to do this, to be invited by the king, a chance to show their loyalty to the king, the respect for the future successor of the king, his son. You know, I think about, many of you guys will remember this from 2011, Prince William and Kate Middleton got married. For months we heard about that, the preparations for the wedding, even weeks and months and years afterwards, we still hear about their wedding. And we're over here in the United States, not even over in England. It was a huge event. That was kind of Donald Trump-ish. Huge Donald Trump. It was a huge event. Sorry. But there was so much anticipation. There was so much excitement about it. It was unlike anything. It was all over the news, and pretty much everybody was talking about it. Well, this story today about the king at the wedding feast should have been a lot like that. It should have been the place where everybody was dropping what they were doing to go something like this. Yet they weren't. And there was a reason for that, and that was the heart of the people. The people's heart wasn't in the right place. The first thing they did was they disregarded the event. They treated it as unimportant, commonplace. They paid no attention to it. They went about their day-to-day routines. The Bible says that one of them went to the farm and one of them to his merchandise, which I assume was his business. They made no effort to go to this event. And really, it sounds a lot to me like things that are going on today. If you think about it, if you're over 35 or 40 years old, you probably remember the fact that when you were a kid, at least in my case it was, you were in church every time the doors opened. If they were open Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if there was revival services on Thursday and Friday, I was there. I was sitting on that chair. From a little kid, I was laying there. But a lot of times nowadays, we can't even get people to come out on a Sunday morning to church, because we're too busy. We've even eliminated the Sunday night services at a lot of churches. And we still struggle to get people out for them. And it's almost like I see a lot of a commonplace between the church and what was happening in this thing, because we kind of disregard God. We're not really putting Him first in our life, at the forefront in our life. Well, besides disregarding the event, another thing they did was they disrespected the king's servants, which was amazing to me. They mistreated them. And this was not the regular people like you would see at a Walmart or Meijer, things like that. This is a higher class, high class, highfalutin people in the town, the country. I mean, the king invited the best of the best when he was having some occasion like this. And it says they mistreated them. And some of them even killed the servants. And I realize we live here in this West Michigan bubble of religion here. We've kind of got a little bit of a shelter of what a lot of the country sees. But we all hear about it. It reminds me of the way the day we're living in today. There's very little respect for the office of the president. There's very little respect for our police officers. Little respect for morals in general. And quite frankly, anymore, I don't even trust our news. I don't know whether to believe them or not. I mean, a lot of my news, I used to be a news junkie where I listened to it all the time, and I don't even listen to it a lot anymore because I don't trust it. And you think about all the riots that are going on in our country and the defacing of public property. You know, I realize what some of these men did on these statues and things like that, but the fact about it is our history. None of us have been subject to slavery. Our ancestors may have, but that is a great, a statue like that is something that we can reflect on and see where we've come in this country. But yet, there's total disrespect for that in our country right now. And really, it sounds to me like Jesus is really talking to us today in this world. The heart of the people was just completely out of place in this parable. They were very disrespectful, and they were invited to what should have been an awesome event, yet they treated it as unimportant, as commonplace. I don't think they realized the magnitude of the event that was going on. And the thing about it is after the king seen what was going on with his servants that went out and did what he told them to do, they were murdered, they were mistreated, and it enraged the king. It enraged the king so much that he sent his army, he destroyed those that murdered his servants, and burned the city down. You know, every once in a while we plan an event here at North Point, and I can think of a couple over the 10 years I've been here now that it just totally bombs. Nobody shows up for it. The one I'm thinking of in particular, it was bad weather. a snowstorm came really close to time. We didn't cancel it in time, and it ended up being a staff retreat where it was just a few of us getting here. That's happened a couple times. It's understandable. Things happen with the weather and stuff like that. But when you're the person that organizes an event like that, and you make the effort to come here, and you're there, and then nobody shows up, you feel a little bummed about it when something like that happens. But think about this king here. This king, his son was getting ready to get married. He had prepped and killed a fatted calf. He's done all this work, and nobody cared to even come. I'm sure he was furious. He was enraged by it. But his wedding banquet was ready. He had already killed the fatted calf. They had prepared for it. They were ready to eat. So the king had to do something about it. He went out. He told his servants to go out and invite everybody they could to the wedding. Anybody to come to the wedding. Now, this struck me kind of funny because you invite anybody to come to a wedding. I automatically, when I read this, I started thinking of Cousin Eddie from A Christmas Vacation. The guy that would embarrass you. The guy that would embarrass you coming to a wedding. I don't know why I thought that, but it's weird thoughts go through my head sometimes. But he told him to invite anybody to come. They invited the good and the bad. They invited whoever they could, and they filled the hall with people. So the wedding hall was filled. The king sent his servants out into the main streets of the city and invited everyone they seen. The parable said, anyone could come, they just had to dress properly for the occasion. Now when I was reading up on this and studying on this, it said it was customary during that time for a king to provide the royal garments for an event of this magnitude. And it was an honor to wear something that the king had given to you. So the king enters the banquet with all these people that they had gathered off the streets. He begins to look around. It's customary during that time for the host to come in and greet the guest they had assembled. And he sees a man immediately that's not wearing the clothes he's supposed to wear. He didn't have on one of the garments that the king had provided. The king asked him about it, and he couldn't explain why he didn't have it on. And I had just said that it was customary for the host to provide their guests apparel, available apparel, but yet he didn't do it. He had the opportunity to, and he didn't. To not wear that outfit was a lack of respect, a lack of showing appreciation for what the king had done. Well, the point of this parable this morning that I want to share with you is this. This parable was intended for Jesus addressing the religious leaders that they were trying to question his authority. The king in this parable is a reference to God. The son in this parable, I guess you can guess it, is a reference to Jesus. The banquet is an invitation to accept Jesus and become a Christian. And those disrespecting, ignoring the event is Jesus' own chosen people. The Jews that disregarded him. You know, God already had a plan to go after the Gentiles. But he ended up having to do it sooner because of the fact that the Jews were disrespecting him. I mean, you think about it. They had the Son of God right there in front of them. And they didn't honor it. They didn't know it. You know, it's also a reference there that if we ignore the invite that comes our way, he's going to go after anybody he can to come to the kingdom. We all have a choice to make. And if we don't choose to go to that wedding banquet, or let's just say to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and go to heaven, he's going to go get anybody he can to do it. And he's going to use people. You know, I've told you guys a story about when I was out playing in the bars. I know there's new people in here, so I'll tell it real quick here. When I was out playing in the bars, I didn't want nothing to do with God. I didn't like when I left church, I was tired of people complaining about the music I was doing and things, and I left church. I had a wrong heart, but I went out doing my thing, and God used a 4-year-old boy to come after me. a four-year-old boy to call me up and say, Matt, will you come to church with me? It was my cousin's son that did it. No prompting from his parents, other than he probably helped him with the phone number. God can use anybody to come after somebody. And if we choose not to come after him, he'll go after whoever he can to get. He used a four-year-old boy to come at me, got me to come to church, and my heart was melted when I walked into that. I felt the love of God like I never felt before. So God will use anybody that he needs to do to come after us. And really, the servants that went out, invited the guest, and went after anybody they could get, they are a prime example of what you and I need to be doing today. You and I need to be going out, meeting friends, getting to know people, and inviting them to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter that they come to North Point. It doesn't matter where they're going. We're all in the same business here, and that is reaching people for Christ. But that's what those servants were doing. They were going out and telling people about the wedding feast. Well, we need to be going about and telling people what Jesus is going to be doing, or Jesus is coming back anytime, and we need to get our lives right. And then finally, the man that was not dressed in the wedding attire, he was trying to make it into heaven another way than what he was supposed to be doing. He was trying to get into that wedding feast even though he wasn't even in the right clothing. It's just like if we try to make it to heaven without going through Christ. The Bible says there's only one way. We have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we have to live for him. So this parable today can apply to us in several ways. I'm going to go ahead and conclude in a minute if the musicians want to go ahead and come forward. First of all, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to attend the wedding feast. It's still being offered because Jesus died on the cross for us. And the Holy Spirit is calling us to him. Jesus is the groom and he wants us. And we are his bride if we choose to be. Do we choose to accept his call or do we choose to reject it? Do we serve him in name only or is he part of our life every day? As we look in this parable, we can choose to ignore him. These people chose to ignore him because they had other things to do. Are we choosing other things to do besides choosing God? That's a question I want to ask you this morning. The last verse in this story sums up what we need to hear from this parable. Many are called, but few are chosen. The invitation of God in this is extended to many, but few reach it in such a way to be among the chosen. Let's go ahead and stand together this morning. And the last thing is the garment in that. The parable, there was a reference to a man that did not wear the garment. The king supplied him for a feast. In Isaiah 61:10, it says, "For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with the robe of righteousness." Jesus wants to supply us with his garment. But are we willing to take it this morning? Are we wearing our garment of salvation? And are we honored to wear it this morning? The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and he with me." 1 John 1:9 says, pastor's favorite scripture, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all righteousness." The Lord wants us to come to know him this morning. He wants us to go after him. We can all pull from something from the story this morning, whether it be a first-time salvation, whether it's getting our life right back with the Lord, we're figuring out that we've been putting other things before the Lord. He's calling us to the wedding feast this morning. He's calling us to get back with him this morning to realize that the time is short. The meal is almost ready, and we have to go out and get people to come to the dinner because he could come back at any time. We could leave here today and get killed. We don't know how long we have. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go ahead, come back here to the altar this morning. I encourage you all of you to do it, whether it's you're wanting to give your life to the Lord, whether you're wanting to just make a recommitment, or if you're just wanting to come up here and say, Lord, I've been putting things before you in my life, or just come up here to worship Him. I encourage you, so people don't feel uncomfortable, just all of you come up here and do it. And let's just worship the Lord this morning as Pastor Mike's going to sing this song.